Welcome back to House of Bravo, your weekly Bravo recap with a cosmic twist. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader.
And I'm Tasha, an intuitive astrologer, also known as the agent of Pluto.
Whoa, Tasha, we literally just got some wild news in the Bravo sphere. Kyle and Mauricio.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, put it out in that way, but I feel like I've been getting DMs actually from people, from our listeners, I guess you can call it, you know, asking like, oh, is there anything showing up in Kyle's chart? Is there anything showing up, you know, about her relationship with, like, Morgan, this country singer? And, you know, there's been so much conversation, obviously, around Kyle and her figure, Kyle and her health, Kyle and Ozempic. I feel like those are terms we've heard recently, but maybe not as much about Mauricio. But I think, like, the Bravo historian has, like, these highlights where it's just a compilation of how there is a lack of communication, or at least a lack of Instagram presence between the both of them, right? Between Mauricio and Kyle.
Interesting. And yeah, so we pulled up her chart and there are a fair number of things hitting right now.
Yeah, I think just fundamentally it's interesting. You know, we've talked about perfection years on the show before. Your perfection years are highlighted themes, if you will, that move with your age. So for example, you know, every birthday you graduate into a new perfection year around the chart.
Yes, and the perfection years are related to the 12 houses of the chart. So the themes will be corresponding to first house themes, second house themes, etc.
Yes, thank you, Emma. And also the house ruler. So, like, you know, whatever sign is on the cusp, that planet becomes more impactful, important, something to keep in mind for that upcoming year. Now, for Kyle, you know, so funny, we were just talking about all this health stuff. She actually has just come out of a sixth house perfection year. So much about health, you know. And I think also now it's interesting as she's turned 54 into a seventh house perfection year, where the seventh house is so much about relationships. Her relationships are now being, you know, held under scrutiny in a way.
When we look at some of the transits that are also hitting, she currently has Chiron in Aries on her Saturn, which could kind of speak to a redefining independence in a partnership, potentially. She also has Saturn, transiting Saturn in Pisces, hitting her Venus. Saturn, which is retrograde. Saturn is retrograde. Venus is about to go retrograde in Aries. So we're not saying that anything specifically is happening with the relationship. What we're saying is Kyle's going through some sort of a transformation herself.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that perspective a lot. It is also very interesting because Kyle has her natal moon at 28 degrees Libra, which is kind of right around that degree that the new moon in Cancer on the 17th is taking place at. And it'll be squaring it from her 12th house. So almost like the 12th house is so much about detachment and letting go. And, like, and it's hilarious that for Kyle's 12th house, it's letting go of a family narrative, like, always. So it's, you know, whether it's with her sisters, and maybe it could be with her sisters, right? Like, they are coming back for a season. So there's so much wrapped in it, symbolism wrapped in it for Kyle. It could mean more than one thing. I just think it's interesting to have a Libra moon, Libra, the sign of relationships. For her, it's in her third house of siblings. And then you also will have Pluto squaring it at 29 degrees right now, right? Pluto in Capricorn, Pluto in her sixth house. Sixth house is, to me, kind of like a day-to-day responsibility house.
Totally.
It's so much about obligation. And I think of that also as, like, kind of, you know, a marriage house in some capacity, right? It's like your responsibilities versus my responsibilities that we take on together in the relationship. That's being underwritten right now too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, it's interesting that she's going into the seventh house year, seventh house, which is so much about your one-on-one relationships. And we do see her coming back together with her sisters, which over these years, we've seen the ups and downs with both Kathy and Kim and her relationship to them. So I am very excited for this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be, well, it's interesting because obviously, like, people have said that maybe, I don't know, behind the scenes, or like, I guess production is saying it's not very good so far. It's like boring.
Oh.
Because people are like scared to bring the, because obviously there was just so much drama at a certain point. It got exhausting. And I think this season there's like a bit of a backpedaling around it. So who knows? And if anything, maybe we could all use a little bit of a breather because OC has been like so fun and like back to petty bullshit. So like that, you know, you kind of need to let some things breathe. But
I'm wondering, because you know how Kyle's not allowed to be on his Netflix show. I wonder if he's not, like, I wonder if he's contractually not allowed to be on Bravo anymore. And maybe, I don't know, I'm just spitballing here because I love them together and I think they do love each other.
Yeah.
Of course, like, relationships change over time, but I don't know, like, sometimes, especially when you've been with someone for so long, like, you can kind of step away and give each other that space and that independence to do your own things and to thrive in your own spaces. So anyway, that's what I'll say about that.
Yeah. I will say also, you know how we talked, just to tie it in, like the perfection year stuff, like the planet, the ruling planet, you brought up, you know, transiting Chiron's on Kyle's Saturn and Aries right now. Saturn rules over Kyle's seventh house. So Saturn, that Saturn sort of transit activity is also heightened. That sense of, this is now me, let me boldly be myself. Yeah, no, super interesting. I love when like something like this happens because I'm like, oh my God, I just need to look at a chart immediately and like have a conversation about it.
Yeah. And you know, we are heading into like Uranus square Venus. So this is very, I mean, to me, that kind of symbolistic of that because it's like a shocking love story potentially.
Yeah, I know. I was just talking to you, like, I'm devastated because I was so not expecting, like, this Love Island couple, Davide and Egan Sue, to break up. And all of a sudden, you hear the news. They were just at a movie premiere 2 days ago. And, like, that's how quick Uranus works, y'all. It just literally, boom, one day it's here, the next it's gone. And I'm, like, still so shooketh about that relationship actually not being here anymore. Oh, I'm devastated.
Well, I have no idea who they are, but Uranus square Mars that we're just coming out of was intense for me. So I am curious to see what this square with Venus is going to be like.
Yeah, especially because it is also leading into this full moon in Capricorn we were alluding to this coming Monday. So over July 4th weekend, actually, it's going to be a big weekend energy wise. So I think people are going to get extra lit, but also a lot of releasing gonna be going down.
And I'd say, like, if you're gonna be around family, be mindful that there are a lot of intense energies. I think especially since we're in Cancer season, and the holiday that's often spent with family, like, things can get tense and energies are going to be, as we said, heightened. It's also a full moon. We know people get crazy around full moons, add in alcohol from a holiday, and like, it's just kind of pressure cooker energy. So again, just be mindful and just know what you're dealing with.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's like really great advice also because this full moon is actually going to involve Mercury. Like Mercury in Cancer is going to be like closely activating it. So again, honest communication and honest emotional vulnerability is not the same thing as like superimposing your emotions onto someone, right? Like there's a total difference in how you handle communication around it. I think that this energy can be very supportive around open, honest communication. But it can also, you know, potentially run into some discomfort. It might be a little spicy, but I ultimately think it's a good opportunity to maybe address some things that have been kind of pushed or swept under the rug as family does, you know, oh, this is not the time or place or whatever, right? Like, finally, maybe this is certainly the time and the place. And there is like resolution or there is some emotional healing. So that's my hope, at least.
Yeah, I hope so too. My family just arrived today for a visit, so we'll see.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I can't wait to hear the update next week.
Isn't your mom coming
Yeah,
soon?
my mom's coming next week. But my mom's also a Cancer. So like I will see her every Cancer season. Like I think this is just how it's gonna be, you know?
Oh, the mother-daughter cancer bond.
Ah, classic.
And speaking of mother-child bond,
Oh
we
my
have to talk about
gosh.
Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, who are like basically extended Bravo family. Just welcomed
Yes.
baby
Oh
surrogate.
my gosh. I mean, did you see the picture or the video of the baby? So
So cute.
cute.
But all their
Unbelievable.
babies are
All their
gorgeous.
babies are very cute. I mean, God, like genetically blessed, honestly. Incredible. I got like really excited because I love when celebrities or people post their personal narrative, if you will, and like they highlight it with some dates and things like that. So it can give me clues in my investigation. And what was actually really interesting, I thought, was this journey that she's been on since experiencing this miscarriage with Jack. You know, obviously that was so incredibly heartbreaking. And you know, I think it's easier to talk about it now because there's obviously a resolution, right? There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I just want to articulate that I was looking at Chrissy's progressions, which progressions are a little more of an advanced technique in astrology for those who are listening, but it essentially describes your personal evolution, like your evolving state. So, you know, you were born a Cancer sun, but over your lifetime, you might progress into taking more of like a Leo flavor, but it doesn't change like who you are. When you track like the progressed moons and stuff, your evolving emotional state, there can be really, really significant things that correlate. And so for Chrissy, I was just wondering, like, oh, you know, what happened back in November, or at least, yeah, November 2021, which I believe was when, you know, they started thinking about the surrogacy based on her Instagram post. Okay, so when I look at her
Good.
progressed moon, it was in Scorpio. And now when the progressed moon is in Scorpio, it can be a very challenging time for everyone. It's a period of literal death, to be quite honest, whether that's an actual death taking place or a metaphoric death of a former narrative or an attachment to something that your ego really, really, really wanted. And it's interesting, right? Because for Chrissy, her natal moon is in Cancer. So this idea of a mom is so, so entrenched in her biology, in her DNA, really. But the progressed moon at that time was hitting her natal Pluto, exactly, in her 12th house.
Wow.
So, you know, we talked about the 12th house as letting go, detachment. Pluto is transformation and control. She was letting go of a narrative that maybe, you know, this whole idea of like, I have to be the biological mom to all my children to have a family is, you know, maybe that's not necessarily the case. Maybe I can't, maybe there is joy after this moment, and maybe I get to expand my family in a different way, but it's so much in alignment with who I am. What was actually also really beautiful was just before June 19th, which is when her baby was born by a surrogate. Her progressed moon was actually about to switch signs into Sagittarius, literally like a day before. And to me, it just shows you know, you go through this dark period, you go through this period of loss, of mourning, of rebirth, transformation, and you come out the other side and you get this almost inspiration, this joy. It's actually very interesting because her progressed moon also had moved over her ascendant, usually indicative of, you know, an announcement of something happening. In this case, I mean, it was literally hitting her chart. You can see her story of her grief, of her miscarriage, of her journey to getting the family that she's always wanted with that progressed moon going through Scorpio in her chart in that 12th house. And now we see at the end, her progressed moon's in Sagittarius, and there's a new chapter, a new beginning, a new expanded family that she gets to revel in her joy with.
Oh, that's so lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, you're welcome. Cancer season, you know, like just getting my feels about it.
No, I'm just like, I love that this week we could talk about like beautiful Cancer season things, whereas like last week was so heavy and emotional. But yeah, so I pulled up both her and John's human design chart because he has a AA rating and she has an A rating. So that's pretty legit. And what I thought was so interesting between them. Well, first of all, we know Chrissy. I mean, this is like not supposed to be such a literal thing, but sometimes it does work out this way. Like Chrissy loves to cook and her environment just happens to be kitchens, which is basically like just creative hubs where people come together to create. So that could literally be a kitchen. It could also be a music studio. And so it's interesting that John's environment is also kitchens. So like they share this connection of thriving in the same space in creative spaces where people are collaborating, coming together. And I think you see that with so much of what they do. Another thing that was very cute is they both have the same profile. They're both a 3-5 profile. This is the role that you play in life. So they're literally going through life as the same role. They can totally understand what the other is here to be, how they move through life. They both, as a conscious 3 line, are going to do a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of failure on your way to success. And that can be really hard, especially if you have someone that doesn't understand that. And then the 5 line, subconsciously, wherever they are, I find that 5 lines are quite difficult because it's a projected field. So people are projecting onto you what they see, what they want you to be, basically. And when you don't live up to that thing, you become the heretic. And we've seen this happen to Chrissy, actually. I don't know that we've seen it happen to John necessarily, but when she's not who people want her to be, people turn on her and she gets a lot of shit. Now, to be fair, she's also like all over Twitter holding her own and like fighting back. But it's just nice that they both can, again, understand the role that they're here to play. And the final thing I looked at was their incarnation cross, which, again, it's kind of like, let's say that like if you live in alignment, you live out your incarnation cross. It's not a given. It's not something you necessarily work towards. It just falls into place. Mm-hmm. And John has what's called the right angle cross of service. And it's specifically his is about finding the beauty in life and kind of bringing in a more aesthetic and spiritual beauty to the world, which like he clearly does through his music. And then when we look at Chrissy, hers is the right angle cross of planning. She kind of is here to like plan for her family, her group, her community. She has the energy to get everything together, to coordinate, to keep it kind of moving. You're just kind of planning what's happening and the rest kind of falls into place. So I think it's cute that she's kind of like the planner and he's of service, and together they're creating these things in the kitchen and trying and failing and just like, I don't know, living like, yeah, what looks like a beautiful, amazing life.
Having fun, for sure, for sure. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should like, you know, ask people if they were interested in like a Chrissy John Synastry chat. Obviously, we have like our Tom and Zendaya one coming up at some point. But, you know, just adding things to the list. So we'll definitely leave that question for folks. But shall we move on to like our main?
Yes. Our true Bravo celebrities.
Our true Bravo celebrities. Atlanta OC. You want to start with Atlanta and then maybe? Okay, awesome. I fucking died over this Candy and Sheree conversation. I thought one, just from what they were wearing was so indicative of their like sun signs. I feel like Candy showing up in like sweats and comfort, like Taurus, and then Sheree showing up with like her mink and Louboutin freaking cap. So it was like, you cannot be more stereotypically Taurus and Capricorn at this moment.
Yeah, that was a very good point. Also, that conversation was just so funny. It like happened so fast, and I was just like, what is this? Like, it kind of seemed fake, but also real. Clearly, they're just like, let's get over this. They know that they're not gonna hold it against the other person. Candy was really shading Sheree, though, and it was kind of fucked up, especially since, as Sheree said, like, she's always been there supporting Candy. So, like, I don't know. Candy recently is rubbing me the wrong way. She seems... I don't know if I'm...
Yeah. No. I agree. I think it's just ironic, right? Like, I feel like if there's one thing Candy can understand, it's you don't talk shit about the business. Don't make fun of the business, because the coin's so important. And it's so funny. And I think Sheree was... I agree. I'm personally in agreement with Sheree, with you. Like, don't come for the money. This is something that's clearly so important to Sheree. This is like the pinnacle of Sheree's, like, you know, time. It's like a big storyline, right? It's been going on forever and ever and ever. And like, you doing this is not gonna be additive. In fact, like, it's just not helpful in any capacity. And I'm glad that Sheree was holding her feet to it, holding her feet to it. And like, eventually Candy does apologize, right? She's like, yeah, no, I get where you're coming from and all this stuff, but this was literally the most earth sign conversation, like fighting about businesses and what friendship means in the context of supporting your businesses.
And also the way the fighting, it was like so chill and down to earth. They're just like, bitch, please, bitch, please, bitch, please. Okay, cool. All right, fine. We're good. It was just like so, funny. It was a great conversation.
You know, for sure, if you had like involved a fire sign in there, it would be like boom, explosive. Or if you involve like maybe a more water sign, it'd be like
emotional.
It'll be more in, you know, like, you hurt my feelings about it, versus like, that was just not cool what you did. Like, support the business, girl. So like, I love that fight. I thought that was just so symbolically awesome from an astrological perspective, but so evocative of like the type of housewife shit you like, petty bullshit.
Yeah. I also loved that the texts were read out loud by each of them that they sent to each other. The way that they were reading it, it was so funny, because a lot of the times texts can be misread. So here they're given the opportunity to like put whatever inflection they think will play to their part in editing and like playback. I like that. I hope that will continue for that reason.
Yeah.
Also because then I don't have to look up from whatever I'm doing to like read what the text is, because I'm always looking somewhere else.
No. The phone scrolling while watching is like so bad, which is why I have to like rewind like so much to just catch details sometimes, because I'm like, I don't even see what's happening.
I'm like embroidering.
you're embroidering? Oh, get it, Gemini. I'm like trying to remember what else happened in the episode. The one thing I like distinctly remember, which is like a total like 180 from this like really fun like conversation, is like Drew and her sister, which I was on my live with the other Drew from Spiritual Sonia, and I was like, I did not realize Drew had a sister, and I was not sure if that sister had ever been brought up in like last season, because I obviously still have not finished season 14 yet. But I was just shocked to see and hear about the storyline and like what she said about Ralph, and how ironic.
Yeah, and you know what I think is interesting about that is when I looked at Drew's chart, she has Mars conjunct Chiron in Gemini, so that can definitely speak to the sibling wound, or like being cut off from your sibling. And it's in opposition to her Saturn in Scorpio, so like kind of a sever around how she feels about Drew's commitment to someone, Drew's commitment to Ralph.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because obviously, you know, so far Drew's narrative this season has been about her music, and I think she's a Taurus rising, by the way. I don't know, just like a sense, but she doesn't know her birth time, so this is always going to be a challenging discussion. But I do think I see Taurus rising. I love the storyline. But I think this is interesting in getting me to like maybe identify with her emotionally. And then obviously, like, we have the Drew Ralph divorce coming up, which is probably going to play out later in the season. But yeah, I'm finding Drew more intriguing, less,
No, I can
yeah.
t I totally see what you're saying because I even had like my notes from this week is we're halfway through the season and I feel like we're on episode two, nothing's happened. I don't like these people. The mix of energy is not interesting. And like so it's like my list of who should be booted and Drew was the first one. But actually, yes, you're right. Like this is it seems like an authentic side of Drew, where I feel like a lot of the times Drew is not being honest with how she's representing herself and her feelings. And that's what is, to me, a turn off of her.
Would you say that's like, potentially that Mars Chiron effect, where she like kind of wants to communicate, but maybe is like afraid to really communicate deep down, even though she has her Mercury in Aries, obviously. So like there is more force around it, but like, true honesty or like true actual depth. And you know what? Maybe that might make sense with the Saturn and Scorpio opposition.
I was
Yeah.
gonna say, I think again, it's that Saturn and Scorpio coming into play and just like kind of being very prescribed about what you show people, where that boundary.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. The other thing that was really cute this week, I love seeing Marlo on a date. I thought that was so cute.
That was adorable.
I find it really, obviously like really funny, right? She had the whole conversation with Sonia, like credit score. Taxes, da, da, debt, and like obviously like her Venus is in Capricorn. She has a Taurus moon, I feel like, and that trines, that Venus moon trine, so like money on the mind is always a case.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Also, like, she's just so Aquarian. Like, she's just so funky, different, unique. I just, like, I appreciate Marlo.
I fucking love Marlo, honestly. I feel like one, she's obviously worked so hard to get to this point on the show as like a full-fledged housewife. And I just feel like she's been trying to find her place, or I don't know, I feel like she's coming more into her own. Like there's a comfort being like, fuck it. I am who I am, and if Candy doesn't like it, it is what it is. And now I want to go on this like date, and it's time to like change my life and all that stuff. So, yeah, I'm very interested. And you know what? It's going to be interesting because she has her Jupiter in Aries also, and Pluto in Libra. So I wonder what might be coming up even, in the context of the next like 18 months or so, right? If she's like interested in actually dating, meaningfully.
Yeah. Also, like we saw Marlo and her work with the Foster Foundation. And I was think I wonder if Marlo is a Scorpio rising, which would put her Aquarius sun in her fourth house. Again, like fostering not necessarily the, the quote unquote norm when it comes to family dynamic, but also the situation that she has with her nephews and with that Scorpio rising, like we see how she attacks other people when she feels attacked. Also, like she is very secretive about herself. Everyone's like, "How did you get your money?" She's like, "Don't worry about it. God bless me, blah, 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 blah." And like, who knows how she got her money? Maybe it was investments. Maybe it was people just giving it to her. But some people would own if this is what happened. Like, yeah, he gave me money. Kim Zolciak was basically that, right? Like, yeah, Big Papa paid everything versus like, God bless me. God bless me. So it's like she's very private around herself. So yeah, I don't know. I'm like, I'm feeling Scorpio rising for her.
Yeah, no, I agree. I said the same thing, Drew, this week. Like, I feel that it makes sense. The Aquarius energy in that fourth house. I also like the idea of like your family is really more of like a community. That energy for Aquarius is in the fourth house.
That's again why I think she's so upset with Candy and disappointed in Candy, because Candy was her community and Candy let her down because, as we said last week, Candy doesn't see her as family in that same way.
Yeah. And like with a Venus in Capricorn and a Mercury in Capricorn, you like kind of invest in people. Like you invest in relationships. And I think you do see that even Marlo and Nini, right? They had such a long standing, really close relationship. And it's almost like, you know, Marlo could withstand a lot of sort of like Nini's, you know.
Her backlash.
Yeah, thank you. Marlo just seemed to be like really like, all right, duck off. You know what I mean? Like water off my back. Like it's not a thing. Like our relationship is still the crux of this this whole thing. But yeah, no, I love Marlo. I love Marlo. I love Sheree. Like, and that's the thing. I think as like a as a fan of the franchise, like I really love Atlanta. I know the season is like a slow burn at the moment, but I do find little bits like this interesting from like a personal development perspective. So I'm hoping it picks up, obviously, but I am also enjoying taking it in. It's definitely picking up a little bit. Yeah,
well, I'm glad someone's doing it. But that brings us to Orange County, which I'm actually enjoying very much.
Oh my gosh, I am deeply obsessed. I love it. This is just such old school housewife, you know, like there's a cheating, there's something about cheating, there's something about a divorce, there's something about a petty fight, there's like, it's just a very good, I think it's right. It's so weird that the ratings are down for it. I don't get it. But yeah, hopefully more people will like tune in, I guess. Vicky's not here yet. Maybe Vicky will be a big draw.
Maybe. I'm excited because the past few seasons of OC have been up and down. They've been kind of all over the place. And so this, at least, what we're on episode 4, I think, and we already consistently have had the drama that's light enough to be enjoyable, but like enough to be interesting to stick with it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think this Taylor Heather fight is so fucking funny, but I get both perspectives, honestly. And I think this is where it's...
Okay.
I actually do. Yeah.
Please explain Taylor's, because I think most of us understand Heather's.
Ooh, I wouldn't say most. Let's not get carried away there. But I think that, here's the thing. If I'm offering something to you, and this is very much like a personal subjective thing. Absolutely. When someone offers something to you and like they're being genuine about it, you know, and the other person receiving it is like not necessarily like, you know, it's pulling a Heather, right? Like Heather was like, oh, like that's cute, like downplaying it or diminishing it. Totally. And it just, you don't necessarily have to say that. If Heather was also serious about it, Heather could herself been like, okay, awesome. Do you happen to know what, you know, who the cat, like who's going to contact me, da, 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 right? Like even I think by virtue of asking like a simple question like that, that is all Taylor like would have really wanted from the situation. But instead, you know, you now have this situation where like Taylor got hurt by the reaction and now is like crafting a narrative. Taylor is a Cancer rising, but Taylor also has a Cat Moon, so it's almost like, oh, like what, you don't like this? And then you can see that kind of come out when she's like on that IMDb page. It's like, well, that wasn't even really great anyway.
Okay, I can understand. Okay, in that respect, I understand why Taylor's hurt. Like, I completely basically agree with what Shannon said. Heather has spoken to Taylor that way. But at the same time, like, that's not how movies work at all. You don't just say hi.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to have you in this movie with me. And Heather's an actual actress. So for her to be like, would it, like, not take that seriously? Why would she take that seriously? And then for Taylor to be like so emotional and upset about it, like, rising, understand her, that's her perspective. But I'm just like, what? You know, like, and then to be like, when they want a casting tape, it's like, okay, so clearly no one actually suggested this. You were just like, hey, my friend can do it. It's not like they were even like, oh, could you get Heather to join this project with you? So
I
kind of am like, what is, where's Taylor coming from? I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think to me, just it kind of shows her big three a little bit in an inch, or like, if she's a Cancer rising, she has her sun in Mercury in Gemini. That's also in that 12th house again. Then, like, it is very funny. I feel like she just can't, she's trying to fit in and she wants to be liked, and I feel like she's just getting rebuffed, right? Like, she's coming into this new group and like is trying to share something, and then, you know, is being met with Heather. So you know it's not saying like things are logical, but it's Cancer season, so I'm gonna say like my emotional sensitivity is really not up for your subjectivity. Like, I'm entitled to feel how I am about it. So that's like the energy I'm getting, or at least I would hope she would like take with her. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, as long as like here's the thing, if you're trying to make someone else understand your hurt, that will never happen unless that person's like motivated. So like, the more you try to convince someone that this is the emotional standard, like, then that's just a losing battle. Just be, you know, you just, like, take the reality as is. Like, I'm sad and this is sad and it's okay, and other people don't have to share the emotions about it, but I'm okay feeling like this about it.
Oh, I mean, I agree with all of that. I'm just saying, from an outsider perspective, you know.
Emma has Mars in Cancer. She's figuring it out.
Yeah. But another thing that was interesting to me in this episode was the way that Tamara was going at Jen about Ryan being a cheater.
My God.
I thought that was kind of inappropriate.
I think everyone, I feel like Jen is in a very damned if she does, damned if she doesn't seat at the moment, you know? Because if she shares Ryan, you know, she doesn't talk about it, the women are going to ask. Might as well come clean. The women are going to investigate. The women are going to fucking do whatever they want to be doing anyway, because Jen is the newbie. So they're going to dig really, really hard into it. And it is so funny that Sharon, again, is like another voice of reason, right? Like, she's talking to Gina about it and being like, you know, yeah, I get it. Like, you're clearly still triggered by it. And you see Gina at the end of the episode maybe come to a better place with Jen, you know, at least a hopeful place, you know. Oh, I get to hear a different perspective.
I really love that Gina chose to bunk with Jen. And I'm glad that actually Emily had COVID and couldn't go, because otherwise it wouldn't. I mean, we don't know how this trip plays out, but just the way that Gina is just like stepping up and it's like, okay, I see that I'm projecting my personal pain onto you. I'm sad that this is the way that we started our relationship, and I'm hoping that we can build something and take a few steps back so that we can relate to each other and have a friendship. So I just like thought that was so lovely and mature. I also am just glad that I'm liking Shannon again this season, because for so many years, Shannon has been such a difficult personality to enjoy in the mix.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah, I mean, to your point, one thing about Gina is, you know, we talked about her Venus and Saturn opposition last week, you know, and indicative of her being triggered about this situation, right? And I think that this also was such a beautiful expression of it, where she, you know, took a very Venus and Taurus approach. Let's mend fences, let's move forward, let's be, you know, bygones be bygones, let me understand my emotional hurt and all this shit, and let's like move forward from it. So I think, you know, you see the flip side of the aspect in 1 week, and now you see the other, both high vibe and low vibe of it. I thought that was really cute.
Yeah, good point. No, I love that. And also, I mean, speaking about like, let me see the other side of it, I'm pretty sure that her moon is in Libra. And so I think it's kind of like speaking to that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I liked that.
Libras, you know, like, either you're like such diplomats or you're like such gossips, or, you know, like, so because you're just always coming into contact with information, and like human relationships are really at the crux of your understanding and your joy. So information is, it's an air sign, information coming in, information coming out in social circles.
Yeah. On the opposite end of Libras is Aries, and we have one of our well, that we still have Shannon, but the Aries on OC are kind of dropping one by one. We used to have so many. We still have Eddie. We have Eddie buying Tamara and yet another pair of shoes. And it's funny because both Tasha and I separately
Oh
were
my
like,
God.
okay, what's in Pisces? Like, clearly something's in Pisces. His Mercury is in Pisces. He thinks about feet all day long. He's just like imagining Tamara's feet in all the Louis Vuittons.
Oh my God. It is literally like foot fetish energy. It was just so funny. Like, and you know, Tamara, like, Eddie and her talk about sex a lot. You can kind of see in Eddie's chart, you know, like Venus and Aries, Sun and Aries. But this Mercury in Pisces, when I saw it, I just died. Just died. Like, we said this before, I think maybe. I forget about who, but Larsa, I think, has like Jupiter in Pisces. And it's like, yeah, a girl can make a lot of money on OnlyFans because Jupiter is in Pisces. Like, if you have Jupiter in Pisces, like, you know, nothing, you might want to just go try it, like, and let us know, maybe. Like, I think it'll be a very fun experiment. Yeah, not saying I'm like condoning foot fetishes or anything, but you know, I think it'd just be
Yeah,
really
but
funny.
like a harmless fetish, you know, of all the fetishes to have, that one, you know,
Yeah.
anyone.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. I mean, the girls on Vanderpump, you know, they took pictures of their feet to like Shayna's like surgery is so funny, nose job or something. Yeah, so definitely, I actually, this is a very serious thing. Please, 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 please DM us if you ever end up putting like feet pictures on OnlyFans or online or something and make money off it. If you happen to have Jupiter and Pisces, I think just very fun experiment.
Yeah, guys, just go to allthingsworn.com. You can sell those dirty shoes. You can sell your socks. You could sell basically anything. All right. Well, that's a great note to leave it on.
I mean, there is a full moon, you know, make that money coming up this weekend. But
This is also the last sign of the zodiac, so great place to bookend it.
literally, literally. But always a pleasure. Always a pleasure chatting, Emma.
Yes.
For those who are listening, if you're looking for more Bravo astrology or pop culture content, you never know. Definitely follow us along at the Cosmic Clubhouse. You never know what chart we might be breaking down.
And before you close your podcast, listener, make sure you subscribe, make sure you rate and leave a review. It's super helpful to us and to helping others find our podcast.
Yes, till next week.
Happy full moon in Capricorn. Bye.